All right.
Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face number 102. We're getting into those three-digit numbers.
Yeah.
So we're having a podcast about music news, culture, and stuff that mostly matters. I am Sean.
I'm Dan.
And man, this is a good week. This is a damn good week in music.
We deliver.
As Uncle Joey would say,
we are delivering this week on Audio Face.
Yeah, we have two singles. We've got Yellow by Rich Brian. We've got Higher Love by Kygo. And Requiem Gampache, Whitney Houston.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see if that lived up to the expectations, no pun intended.
We've got albums from the Black Keys, got Let's Rock. We have Sir Thomas York himself, Anima. And then we have Freddie Gibbs and Mad Gibbs as we like to call it, Bandana.
Yeah, so you got some rap, we've got some experimental, we've got pure, wholesome rock.
It's good stuff, but let's hop in right now. I want to talk about music today.
Yeah, it's also hot as hell, so let's start.
Right. So we got Yellow by Rich Brian. So Rich Brian isn't he from here?
Yes, I'm pretty sure. Yes, we remember him as Rich Chiga because he made those like viral hits, being like the he made a joke off being like the suburban Asian kid who's like acting like a trap rapper, and it worked really well. But of course, as he got more of a following, he started to see what can be potentially problematic about that kind of framing of himself. So he changed his name to Rich Brian, and then like kind of he went through a total musical.
And you released the album last year that we both liked.
Yeah, Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that came out last February, which we reviewed here on Audio Face. Here first, folks. And so we released a single called Yellow, Feet Beckon. I have no idea who the hell Beckon is, but okay. And it's actually pretty solid. I like it.
Bottle full of liquor. Tonight. Life looks so easy, all you gotta do is close your eyes. Please don't call the reverend, I don't need no help. Bury me a legend, I'ma dig the game myself. I can't remember when I last fought the life. Don't try to save my life. I'm on
the It's the thing with Rich Brian when he had his, I could say his debut album, quote unquote, is he mixes trap with like R&B beats and other things. He puts string instruments in it, other overlying high soprano vocals and stuff, and doesn't just put trap over trap snare and stuff that's been repeated over and over again. But this one, he does that thing where he experiments. He puts it a little, he dubs it a little differently. So it's a nice little change. I like it. I didn't realize he was good. I don't know if he's releasing an album this year or not.
I'm pretty sure this is like the single that might be preceding an album that's coming. But yeah, he's taking a lot of cues from Black with a Six. A couple of other Juice WRLD.
Like some rap songs.
People
who are
turning trap
and
R&B.
Yeah.
And I really like that kind of vibe.
I really like that vibe too, because it makes it, you can really get that fun. It's like Miss Fat Booty from Mos Def.
Which we'll
get back to later. But it's like that nice little beat where you can groove to it and you can go into hard lyrics if you want, but you could dance a little bit.
Yeah.
So let's go on to our second single.
And the music video for it's definitely really deep and has to deal
makes
with,
you super claustrophobic.
The I guess, like, racial tension that Rich Chiga/Rich Brian has been trying to get at for his career. So check out the video as well, and including listening to the rest of the song.
Now we got Kygo with Higher Love featuring Whitney Houston. So he basically used the lyrics of the vocals from a Whitney Houston track and put it onto his own work.
Whitney Houston herself was covering Stephen Winwood's Higher Love, and this recording was from the 90s, and so Kygo kind of, you know, redid that the way a lot of musicians do, where they take old vocals and then add them to new instrumentals and see what happens.
And then they kind of make it their own. You know, Daft Punk does that all the time, and I like it when you can throw back a lyric and then still make something that is your own thing, in a way. But it mixed well. Because Kygo, you know my beef with Kygo. We've talked about that many times. I think he's really samey. But this song is actually quite good. I like it. It doesn't have that stereotypical drop. It doesn't feel, you know, overplayed. It's a nice track, and her vocals complement it very well. It doesn't feel like it's something that he just stole, you know, put vocals and just dubbed it with something else. No, he really created something on himself with using vocals on a different song.
Yeah, so. And he didn't even just like what a lot of artists do, which is take vocals and copy paste
songs they've already
written onto it.
No, like, he changed it.
It still sounds like a Kygo song. And mm-hmm. I remember my kind of review of Kygo was that of recognizing that he had come from a different sort of beginning mm-hmm. as a DJ, and then decided to evolve into this more tropical house sort of mm-hmm. vibe that he's very recognized for now. This continues that, so you're definitely gonna be familiar with the sound, but Kygo's still trying his best. He's a little slow at it, but he's trying his best to make that sound really fresh and different and stand out from the rest of electronic music, which has really seen a bit of a bleh.
Yeah, like a slow exactly. Music. It's slow, but that's because all the good stuff's underground still, and I think it's gonna forever be that way, but. Yeah. That's a different conversation.
Grass grows, birds fly, sun shines, and that's how the
neoliberalism
music world
rises.
Works. Really fast, just programming notes.
Yes, that's fine.
You can follow Audio Face Pod on Twitter and Instagram at Audio Face Pod. We'll be doing a lot of stuff. I caused him a little bit of anxiety by screenshotting part of our chat and posting that online, so that'll be fun. We'll just be testing our friendship that way. But in addition,
those are dangerous actions, man.
We had a Black Keys bonus episode that'll get you kind of
caught
understanding.
Up.
Yeah, caught up for sure on everything that the Black Keys has done up to right now, and mm-hmm. only 20 minutes. I included a lot of different old Black Keys songs in there as we were talking them. So I think it's really cool. You can check out that episodes. Our bonus episodes are fun. Speaking of which, next week's episode is going to be a non-standard version of Audio Face. We're not going to be reviewing albums. Instead, we'll have the Song of the Summer mm-hmm. talk. We've got a lot of songs. We're in the heat of summer, and so it's going to be really fun to go through all of that. So mm-hmm. definitely get ready for that. And we're going to be soliciting your favorite song of the summer, you, the listener slash viewer slash wherever you are, organic.
Robot. Bot. No, I know the organics. I know you.
We know you. We know where you live. No, we appreciate you, organics. But we want your help in figuring out what to put on this Song of the Summer playlist that we're going to be releasing from Spotify. So make sure you're following at us. Reach out to us, DM us, respond to us, and make sure your music gets heard. Now let's get into some news.
This is hilarious. So Brockhampton, they're supposed to release a summer album, apparently, and they're holding therapy sessions with one Shia LaBeouf, which he's an interesting character.
Shia LaBeouf himself needs therapy.
That's understatement of the century.
Yeah. I think Shia LaBeouf needs therapy.
It's like, the guy's got some issues. Issues.
Yeah.
This is interesting because Brockhampton's had that, you know, that controversy of, well, you know.
Yeah, yeah. The
had that one member that kind of had to oust a little bit, just sweeping
they
the
got
side.
They
got hashtag Me Too'd pretty bad.
But since then, they've been kind of figuring out what they want to do next. But one thing they did that I think you would like, Sean, because a lot of our conversations around Brockhampton are that, like, they're a bit of a phenom for just generation. They're like big boy band, but they've released music at such a like break clip pace that it's not evolving fast as we'd like.
They're doing the Young Logic route.
And it seems that they have realized that they wanted to kind of let each other take a break in between this album.
I like
and
that.
Like
you can
figure things out.
Yeah, and especially with all of this stuff that's been going on in their band. It's nice to have a release, get a musical release too, of just figuring out exactly what you want to do with your life and what you want to do musically. It's nice. I like that. And therapy is not a bad idea, honestly, because apparently it helps.
Kevin, from what I hear, it helps. Kevin Abstract, I want to read one quote that he has. He says, we lost a member from our group. It was a close childhood friend. Mm-hmm. Traumatic experience, even more traumatic experience for the other person. But we put forth Iridescence, their album from last year. After all of it, which got up a lot of hype, but not the reaction they wanted.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty fair.
Which is what we said, more or
less. Yeah, like, it's a decent album, but, like, it's... to me, Brockhampton released a series of singles that had years by them. And that was going to be for a project called The Best Years of Our Lives. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was going to be, like, Brockhampton's real, like, come into their own moment. Mm-hmm. But since then, we haven't heard anything from those, and none of those songs came on Iridescence.
No.
I felt like Iridescence, at the end of the album, had a little bit of, like, a... It had a little thing at the last track that felt like it was about to continue on to something else. So maybe this could be leading to that. If so, I'm very excited.
Okay.
Interesting. We shall see.
This is an interesting thing.
Playboi Carti straight can't catch a break.
Well, yeah, Playboi Carti, his music that his leaked music just showed up on Apple Music. So he's getting the Jai Paul treatment.
Yeah.
Where Jai Paul just like, fuck it. Here's all my release. Here's all my leaked stuff. Do it. Hey, Playboi Carti, pull a Jai Paul and just say fuck it. At this point, you've got... He's got fucked over a lot with his leaks. I feel bad for him. I don't like his music much, but I don't like any artist where, maybe Migos because, you know,
I mean,
they can deserve it. But anybody else, it's more of, it sucks for artists who work so hard at something to have it leaked when it's not finished or it's not, they don't want it to be released yet because they're waiting for everything to come together.
Yeah, or like it's a full promotional thing. So like you have a music video planned.
Exactly.
You have like... billboards and all this stuff to make sure that like
the song actually get food on the table.
Yeah, the way the song like hits off on the right foot.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the interesting comparison between Playboi Carti and Jai Paul.
Yeah.
Jai Paul.
But,
yes.
But Jai Paul is a god. That guy is really good.
True, but I will say Playboi Carti. Like, I'm not going to disagree with you on any of that. But Playboi Carti's the single that got leaked a couple weeks ago, "Pissy Pamper," has been in my head hardcore, and I don't know why. It's unfair, but I'm interested to see exactly what comes out of this, because it's pretty good.
All right, humans.
Is it time to rock?
It's time to rock. Let's rock! Album by The Black Keys. 12 songs long, 38 minutes. So it's actually a bit shorter than I thought it would be.
The Black Keys made an album of this year, of these past 2 years, which is like sub 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Really tries to get the point across through these songs that it has. You could argue that it wastes no time in like trying to establish the point of the album to you, which a lot of albums have been doing this year when they try to come up under the 40 minute.
Because artists are listening. Audio Face is the whole point.
Yes, they're being short and sweet. Say a lot with a little.
Exactly.
Before we go into the review.
Saying controversial things just for the hell of it.
Before we go into the review fully, I want to go into the title of the album and why they chose it.
Let's rock. Yeah.
Yeah. While they were doing the album cover is an electric chair,
which I'm like, all right, that's some Ride the Lightning Metallica shit right there.
Are you ready to have the Syndicate 23 political report right now?
Oh, I'm always ready.
So while they were doing some of the opening sessions for this album, Dan Auerbach and Patrick Carney, the musicians who we talked about a lot in our previous Black Keys bonus episode that you can check out on YouTube and anywhere else, but they said that while they were just doing the sessions, there was a local Tennessean newspaper that talked about someone receiving the electric chair for the first time in a long time there for whatever crime they committed.
Wow, I didn't think people still use an electric chair.
Oh, absolutely.
That's wild.
Hashtag no politics.
I'm super fucking down because I want to watch that shit.
So the person who's being electro-executed, his final words
were... Let's rock.
His final words were, let's rock.
Yes! Oh my god. All right, this album just got a little bit better just for that title now.
And so, like, they weren't trying to make an album that had to do with that. And it doesn't have a lot of, like, political cues.
It really doesn't.
Say, thematically, it's like bread and butter Black Keys, pretty much.
Yes.
We'll get into the pretty much in just 30 seconds. But that imagery kept coming back to them when they were making the album. And I think if you can find a direct connection to it, it's this... unapologetic sort of expression of Let's Rock, in the sense that this is a very rock heavy album. Only like one song I counted has even like a little bit of anything not guitar, bass, or drums or any of the kind of pedals in that. Otherwise, it's just pure ass rock.
Literally just a rock and roll album, which, because the Rack to Tours was not pure rock and roll. They had indie mixed in, they had folk, they had a bunch of other stuff, which is why we loved it so much.
Yeah.
And this is literally like just straight bog standard. Rock and roll, baby. Fuck it. I don't care what's going on in the world. This is what I want to make. Let's rock.
Yeah.
And that's what they made. And it's interesting because I didn't... The first two songs, Shine a Little Light and Eagle Birds, I did not like that much. Low High, I really, really, really like that track.
The
I know
lead
it's their single.
Yeah.
Exactly. I really fucks with that track. Walk Across the Water is pretty solid. And Tell Me Lies, I like a lot.
Tell Me Lies is like one of those classic Black Keys songs that's
exactly.
like...
Exactly. It's like Fever in that way.
Not even that, but like there's a whole category of Black Keys songs that are like, they never make it as singles and they always end up in the end of the album, but they're like some of the best Black Keys songs. Yeah. Like Moneymaker or Moneymaker, Stop yeah. Stop from El Camino. I'm trying to think from Fever. There's definitely like...
Turn Blue.
Turn Blue, I guess was. But Waiting on Words, In Our Prime. They're just these songs that are like, maybe other bands would call them filler. I definitely don't think they're filler. But like, they're not the emphasized songs on the album.
Yeah.
But they're still fucking incredible. And so that's like a Black Keys thing that kind of stays subsistent in this. It's just got that like, the identity, the DNA of emotion and feeling with their own, like, it's their the Black Keys' Keys' twist on rock.
Yeah.
But if you're used to the Black Keys' twist on rock, it's definitely more of that.
Yeah, which is funny, which has been the theme the whole month of June, is the second half of the album is the best part of the album. The first half, to me, was a little lackluster. So it got off on the wrong foot for me. I listened to the album twice, and it's still Shine a Little Light and Eagle Birds are okay songs, but they didn't, especially Shine a Little Light, just didn't feel like a Black Keys song. It felt like, you know, a random garage runk up, garage punk band in Fullerton just started making music.
I didn't know they had garage punk in Fullerton. I would have felt that would have been more like a San Pedro or like Newport Beach vibe.
Yeah, but I could see that. Huntington is where you get the bros, but we won't get into that. And then
hashtag no regional politics.
And then Lo-Hi is when it started to get good. And then for me, it was from Get Yourself Together down to Fire Walk With Me, which is literally the second half of the album. Very, very good. I liked it. It was felt Black Keys-y. It felt not outdated with the rock, because the nice thing of the Black Keys, they have a distinctive sound, but they change it enough per song to where it flows, it makes each song sound different, but you can play it in a shuffle and the whole album will still go together in that way. That's still a problem of rock, is it can still get bland, but they are good enough musicians to where they made it to just not be bland.
Yeah.
Which was my whole worry, especially that second half, because I'm like, okay, I want a little bit more from it, which is my only real complaint of the album. But for being unapologetically rock, they made the best rock album I think you could make in 2019.
I have a little tweak to this. It's not that the first half or the second half were any better or worse, whereas usually we have albums, or very recently we've had albums on Audioface where that ends up being the case. An album's top heavy or bottom heavy.
Yeah.
To me, it felt like this album kind of began at the same tone and pace and didn't really leave it. And it's one of those albums where all the songs hold up, but very few of them stand out from that holding up.
Yeah.
But all their songs are still very good.
There is no lull or anything in each song. So I was trying to say.
This is not a very exciting roller coaster. You don't have very highs or lows. You're going to be staying around
those same. You're flying a plane for the first time, but your instructor's flying it and you're just learning the instrumentation and you're going straight by PCH. So it's like, it's fun, it's cool, but you're like, you're not doing maneuvers, you're not doing stall maneuvers and stuff. You're not like, oh my God, I'm going to die. You're just like, oh, I'm flying a plane straight, but and it's still flying.
In that sense, I think there was a little bit more adventure, if we're going to continue the analogy, in El Camino. So like, if we're going
even in Turn Blue, there was a bit more.
Yeah.
Because actually, our good friend, Justin, who is a very big Black Keys fan, he texted me yesterday. He's like, a little disappointed in the Black Keys, which I didn't get a chance to talk to him about it today, but I want to ask some other people I know who like are big time in the Black Keys what they thought of this and why some of them wanted a little bit more, some of them liked it. So I want to really talk to the people and get a little more details in it. But I can understand from a standpoint of this is their first album in what, 4 years, 5 years?
And,
but they purposely wanted it to be just fuck it, rock, let's do this, which I don't have a problem with in a way, but I would understand people wanting change. I mean, that's usually what we want is, hey, make something different. So, but also, I just realized, do we have arbitrary scale?
Oh, we don't have an arbitrary scale.
We do not
scale.
Have arbitrary scale, so I guess I'll figure it out right now.
You figure
it
out.
Let
me give me one last point, and then you can elaborate and maybe help you with the arbitrary scale, but
I got it right now, I already know.
Let's Rock is going, like, it's... Will Black Keys fans like it? Yes. Will Black Keys fans like it as their favorite album from the Black Keys?
God, no.
Almost certainly not. Is it a letdown, though? No, it's definitely not a letdown. Mm-hmm. It's just that your favorite band, if you love the Black Keys, decided to take a really hard veer into rock. Usually bands kind of try new experimentations and avoid like what their bread and butter is, but it takes a very specific skill for a band to kind of find a bread and butter and purposely restrict themselves into it so that they explore that fully and thoroughly and then create a finished work off of that. To an extent, I'd say the Arctic Monkeys did this a little bit last year, but I'd say they did it a little bit better.
But they completely changed their sound.
Exactly.
Which is why, I mean, the more I listen to Tranquility Base in the Casino Hotel, the more I like it. It's one of those albums where it's, in the next 3 years, it's going to end up on my top five favorite albums of all time, probably. I really like that album. Anyways.
Yeah, I'm sure I scale this week is apparently, so I've been told.
Yes, is Formula One Engine Regulations, which is super random. But anyways.
This is why the arbitrary scales literally don't matter.
Exactly. So for those of you, obviously, Sean is a huge Formula One fan. It is my life. As much as it pains me. So throughout the years, there are engine changes. So like in the 60s, you have exposed engines that would catch fire at any moment and just explode because it's the 60s and we don't give a fuck.
It was like Formula 0.5.
Seriously, those car, the sound those cars made though, Jesus. They had exposed 12 cylinder engines in the back, dude. You gotta have balls to drive that car. Anyways.
Or a lot of fire extinguisher.
Or a lot of fire extinguisher, okay. So this is a solid, like,
Which generation of death trap engines?
This is like a solid 1989 through 94 engine where they started to make everybody use the V10, but it didn't start to sound that well, but you had good racing because you had Senna's last wins there. You had some good stuff. Michael Schumacher started racing.
Wait, so would those be the engines that killed Senna?
The engine didn't kill him. It was his driver shaft broke.
Right.
Which I actually had a driver's side recall, but they didn't actually have to do anything. But that's
that's a little close to home.
That's a little close to home. So, but this is saying it's good. It's standard. I could wash out all day, but it's not V10 screaming BMW through the Nürburgring.
Right.
So, which we will talk about in a moment.
I'm just going to stick with that because I don't know enough about Formula One engines.
Okay, so 1989, 1994? Cool.
Yes. Here's a tip. Don't pre-save albums on Spotify. Now,
first off, it's really random because you can just download an album and pre-save just goes to your library. So, and Spotify, as we were talking about, is literally an entire library of music. Unless you make a playlist, which
if you subscribe to Spotify, even at the free level, but definitely at like the paid level, then everything on Spotify is your library.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of like the conceptual difference we had to understand when we used to own our music versus when we streamed it all, is that like, my library is what I own. Your library is my library.
Right.
Spotify
all
is
right.
What everyone owns. This is the people's library. No,
Jesus,
no.
All right, communism,
here's
Spotify.
The thing.
If it was, they would actually pay the fucking artists.
The feature is that when you pre-save albums before they come out on Spotify, this is actually one of the rare ways that advertisers and record labels can actually tap into the data that's collected about you from Spotify.
Yes.
Usually Spotify keeps this pretty much like away from labels. Only Spotify sees the data that you give Spotify. But when you pre-save albums, that's the catch. So,
which is really weird, but
it's really weird, but not surprising. And it goes into the big like theme of 2019 more broadly, even outside of this podcast, which is every single tech company is coming for your data and they don't want to pay for it. They want
that data, man. They want to sell that data. They want to get some money off that data.
And you can do some like crazy bounty hunter level shit with that data. So
you
don't
really
give
can.
It to them as much
just,
as you can.
Yeah, and that's why you don't use a Google Home and or Amazon Alexa, especially Amazon Alexa. Fuck that shit. Bezos still number one. Chop chop. Also, fuck Spotify because it says it overpaid songwriters and publishers last year and wants the money back. Whoever said this needs to get on the I Want to Go Chop Chop Award.
Daniel Ek, we're starting to do interviews on AudioFace now, so if the CEO at Spotify would like to come on AudioFace and do an interview with both of us, we promise we will leave the guillotine outside.
I will have my hands tied, and I will...
Hot.
Okay.
So, Spotify's, when it comes to the overpaying artist thing, they're opposing the Copyright Royalty Board, which made a bunch of different regulation changes to catch up with, haha. It made a bunch of different regulations to catch up with the fact that music streaming is now the way people consume music.
Yeah, yeah.
Because before, these rules were written for like the 1900s. We had no. Wait.
Remember, the first copyright laws.
The player piano rules.
Like, yeah, they, that's 1910.
Yeah, yeah, these copyright rules were made for player pianos and those things. Yes. And of course, music has changed a lot in the past 110 years. So,
but I mean, the bulk stays the same of you're playing somebody else's music that they wrote on a thing. So how do you get to pay that artist is the whole thing. Because player pianos revolutionize music big time because they're like, oh my God, someone's not playing it, but I'm playing Chopin's music and he died 100 years earlier. Yeah. And it's not someone playing it. What? What? So, tarnation?
Spotify successfully was able to lobby to increase songwriter payouts by 44%, but also ask for some of that money back. It's like the ultimate.
That's
writing both sides.
Seriously. He's like Darth Maul. When Darth Maul puts, like, he gets up, goes, one blade, and then the other blade. Just, it's like, well.
There's some deep state Star Wars here.
That was a deep state Star Wars.
And really fast, Genius caught Google red half-handed. So if you've ever Googled song lyrics before, you'll notice that you Google a song and then lyrics, and then the lyrics usually come up. If the lyrics don't come up, then
you have to go to like A to Z lyrics or .com or something like that.
Genius is very popular.
Genius is good only because they go on Spotify and they. I actually kind of fucked with Genius because I like to give you a little background on stuff on Spotify sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's a cool plug-in collaboration that they do. I just don't think Spotify does a good job of letting you hide it, because most of the time I don't want to see it, because either they don't.
Unless your app changed, because mine hides it very well now. Because it's on the bottom now.
Bottom, but like, what if I just literally don't want it there? No. Like, just not at all. You can't do that. For a while, when they just introduced Genius onto Chromecast streaming or Google Cast streaming, like even if you had the button off, it would not stop showing like the Genius, hey, this is information about this song thing.
I didn't know that.
Which is like, cool if you're alone, but like at parties, it's like, hey, why is this happening here?
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. Anyways, so Genius found out that Google was scraping its website for song lyrics, which is something you're supposed to, Google's supposed to pay for, because
that actually makes sense of how it pops up on Google.
The way Genius did it was in their lyrics, they have a piece of code that switches every single apostrophe to a different font. And they're able to check different song lyrics. So like, it'll be an apostrophe in one font, and it'll be an apostrophe in another font. You won't notice it because it's just apostrophes, but the code can notice it.
And you can run a program, exactly.
So Genius just ran this program on a bunch of Google's lyrics and found out, and those are ours.
Yeah, that's hilarious. They're just like, copy paste.
Yeah.
You just gotta Control-Alt-Delete that right now.
Yeah. Google says that Google told the Wall Street Journal that it licenses lyric information from a company called Lyric Find Incorporated. That might literally just be Genius.
Possibly.
Yes.
Oops, Google in trouble.
Right.
Mr. Sir Thomas York, I don't think he's been knighted yet. I don't think he would give a fuck about being knighted because he's too cool for that. But one Thomas York, Tom York, released his third studio album, Anima.
His third solo album.
Yeah. 9 songs, 47 minutes long, and dear Lord, I do not think Tom York can seriously make a bad song in his life. I don't like doing this on the podcast. I don't like just, you know, rambling about artists.
You don't like automatically filleting an artist for 10 minutes. However,
literally, I don't know how to say this. This guy is a god.
That's great.
Seriously. He already released some of my favorite music of all time, hence literally why we made our podcast named Audio Face.
There's a hint in that.
There's a little hint in that. If you haven't caught up by it by now, what are you on about? Alright,
He did this in 9 songs.
He did this in 9 fucking songs. This is a contender for album of the year. No questions asked.
Okay, sure.
Because 2019, there hasn't been anything that's been Jesus yet. But this is something where it's like, it'll definitely get nominated for some types of album of the year.
Yes.
Audioface
Awards, yes. Album of the year, hold.
Like, because we gotta wait for other things to get, obviously. But I'm saying right now, it's unbelievable.
Where to start?
Let's just go top to bottom, boy. So we got Traffic, which was already kind of released about 6 months ago, if you go on the YouTubes.
I mean, a number of...
Like, a couple of those other tracks have been...
To be fair, this is kind of Radiohead fair, where, like, they make music to begin with. Like, yes, they play some stuff. Thing. Yeah. They make music, but then when they perform live, they put a bunch of goodies in their live performances. And so sometimes those goodies will just be, like, songs they only performed live, or versions of songs they only performed live.
Exactly.
And then those live things will just, like... float around throughout the Radiohead universe, like different members of Radiohead will play them or tweak them in their own ways, and eventually it just randomly ends up somewhere actually in the studio recording.
Yes, so Traffic is
that happened a lot here.
Yeah, Traffic is a perfect opening track. Sets the tone, it's experimental, it's weird, it's Tom York doing vocals, it's crazy, it's got, the entire album has a very, very dark theme to it, which is, you know, typical Tom, but it's not super political, which is weird for Tom, because normally Tom is like, Radiohead literally made the album Hail to the Thief, which is about George Bush, but the second. But this one's more about insecurities and problems of being out in public, being problems of yourself, of like hidden demons, hidden things that literally keep you up awake. The whole promo of his album was, do you have trouble falling asleep at night? And you have other things of, oh, then Anima. Like, it's a little like ode to the 50s themes of, oh, here's like antidepressants or sleeping medications and stuff to help you get through the night. And this album has that theme, but it's not just dark and depressing. He made it into a fucking dance album.
Yeah, it's like...
of experimental deepness.
Yeah, it's like experimental electronic dance, which, I mean, I can definitely see this coming, because let's look at York's other solo albums. There's The Eraser, and then there's Tomorrow's Modern Boxes.
Yeah, and Tomorrow's Modern Boxes, you start to get into the really laptop-orientated electronic music, where it's experimenting with different sounds and beats, and you get some weirdness.
Whereas The Eraser was just like kind of sad boy Tom York.
Yeah, but it was great music.
Yeah, absolutely. But like, the DNA of, like, I was thinking of songs like Black Swan and Hair Downhill from The Eraser.
Cymbal Rush.
That slowly kind of, Cymbal Rush. That slowly made their way into Anima in their own ways, like the DNA of the songs, especially near the end. I think Runaway, Impossible Knots, I'm a Very Rude Person, all kind of carry on that idea, but go, let's experiment with it more and let's make it danceable. Yes. Or let's make it groovy or funny in some way. So like, I get what you're saying, whereas a lot of Tom York's and Radiohead's music is like introverts opera. Mm-hmm. This is very much like an album about the chaotic sort of entropic interactions with people
definitely,
that occur.
Definitely.
And like,
especially some of Tom York, where he's just doesn't like being out in public. He's very awkward. He doesn't like being in the public eye, ironically being a front man, but he loves making music. He really likes interacting with audience members and stuff. And you could tell if you've gone to any of his live shows. But I'm gonna get the twist later, because that's gonna be a whole thing. But Traffic, perfect opening song. Last I Heard, which is a good little like downer song to start to get up into twist, but I'll get back to twist. Dawn Chorus, the same thing. I Am a Very Rude Person is
my anthem, and also just like a really great song.
The bass lines in two of these songs, Impossible Knots and I'm a Very Rude Person. I want to see Flea play that shit live with Tom. I would love to see that. Oh. And then, so it's cool throughout the album, because every song is intertwined into one another. I'm a Very Rude Person goes into Not the News, where I'm a Very Rude Person, it starts to do at the end. It has a thing where, like Ill Wind with Radiohead, where it has a bunch of instrumentation overlapping each other as the little outro. And then it goes into Not the News, which is very, very heavily experimental keyboard with like a laptop beats, and it starts to really get into this dancey mood. Then the Axe have more of a bass beat. Impossible Knots, the same thing, and it's you start to get up and down. And Runaway, the beginning, the first minute of it is the guitars from These Are My Last Words, from a Radiohead song that they never released.
Yeah.
Which is unreal.
It's definitely delivering fan service.
Which is with that. Holy hell. And then there's Twist.
Yeah, and then there's Twist.
And then there's Twist.
I'll let you sit down and do Twist for a little bit, and then I will do my favorite song.
Twist is two songs in one, which for me is my guilty pleasure. I love little hidden songs. Like my favorite, like super random, my favorite Coldplay song is Yes, because it's two songs in one, and the second song of Yes is phenomenal. Same with like 1975. I love the song You, because you have You, and then like a minute lapse, and you have Milk at the end. I love little tracks like that. Twist, the first half, is literally Thom Yorke just going twist, 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 over and over again in a really weird dinosaur dance beat with red pants doing
like,
backflips.
To talk about DNA with older Thom Yorke works, mm-hmm. It immediately invoked the memory of There Is No Ice.
Yeah, exactly. There, deadass, There Is No Ice. Or when they played Idiotech, when he says, it's not raining.
Yeah.
Which is a little ode to the Berkeley show we went to. Then the second half of the song is a really cool, like, acoustic guitars mixed in with electronic at the end of it. An empty car in the woods. I really like that song, so I'm going to be blasting this album until the end of time, by far. I already know this guy is incredible. I don't like jacking off that much to one artist, but...
On camera, at least.
But Thom Yorke is just, he's hit it out of the park. He revolutionizes his sound every time.
He didn't hit it out of the park, he hit it out of the park and it landed as a football.
It's like, you just look and go... I didn't know that was possible. Well, yeah. We'll go with that.
And he hit it out of the park, and then Steph Curry caught it and made a three-pointer. And Toronto still won.
And then Austin Matthews scored a goal for Toronto, but then they still got beat by Boston.
It all washes out in the draft.
Yeah, that's extremely true. And I don't even want to get to that, because the Penguins just traded Phil Kessel. That makes me sad as fuck.
That's another bonus episode.
But that's another bonus episode. The Syndicate 23 Sports Report. Anyways... Yeah. Listen to Anima.
Stephen A. Smith has no testicles. What do you like to say? Listen to Anima. It's a great album. I really want to talk really fast about Impossible Knots, because you're the guy who geeks out about Thom Yorke all the time. Allow me to geek out about Thom Yorke. Impossible Knots has been like, it's been this like floating around thing that mm-hmm. maybe Thom Yorke has played a little bit with Radiohead, but I've mostly seen him on his solo things.
I think it was him and Johnny did it in a show 2 years ago, not with the full band.
Yeah.
And then he's done a couple with it by himself.
That was very, typical how one of these Radiohead mm-hmm. moments has happened.
Yes,
where,
always.
They're just, constructing a song right before your eyes when they're performing it live. And then, right when it starts to come together, the first 20 seconds when all the instruments are together, you realize what the song is and what it's trying to become and what it's going to be. And then Impossible Knots just kind of becomes this really fun but light and airy song. Mm-hmm. And usually I define really fun and light and airy as something that's backed with a bunch of synths and it makes it sound almost dreamscape-like. Mm-hmm. But again, the bass and the drums kind of keep this going the most. And I don't know, it invokes the memory of a little bit of King of Limbs, but a little bit faster paced.
Definitely, kind of like a Mr. Magpie.
The
bass line reminds me of Magpie a lot. And it's nice because you have that kind of ethereal sound, that dark sound, but a little upbeat, and it's a song, you have a really nice old fucking scotch in your hand, and you're just bouncing back and forth. You're out of the crowd, and you're just, analyzing humans, because you're weird like that, like us. You're sitting there, and you're chilling. That's the song you do it with.
Yeah. To me, it's even just I could be listening to this song while I'm skateboarding.
Cycling. Yeah,
or
exactly.
Anything
I'm
else
riding,
where I'm amongst people in public, but having an entirely different experience.
Exactly. Me. That's a very good... Feel it like you're walking through a train station and you're trying to get your way, but you're just whoosh, and you zone out and you just listen to that song. It's actually very good representation.
Yeah.
This is the Jesus Christ engines themselves, the roaring V10s, baby, from 1995 to 2005. I'm talking specifically 2 years. 2003 and 2004 Formula One engines. The V10s with the traction control that is the best sounding car that was on God's flat green earth ever in the history of mankind.
How much horsepower are we talking in some of these? I think I see 800 brake horsepower over there.
Yeah, and they would rev at 19,000 revs.
Your car doesn't have that number, for the record.
No, it's literally triple your car number. That's how many revs they have. They'd be, I think the highest they got was about 900. I don't think they got to 1,000, because last time there were 1,000 was in the 80s, but that shit was blowing up, so like, we can put it at 900 with the V10.
Stop and break a little bit.
But the traction control sounds like, when you, that sound is just, they would literally tune their engines to make them sound that good. That's how deep Formula One was in the early 2000s.
Amazing.
But I digress. That's how good this album is.
Back to this music podcast?
Fuck yes.
So,
Michael.
Streams of Michael Jackson have increased 41%.
Because it was his birthday and the, you know, free Michael shit, but he did all those boys, guys.
Yeah. It just always happens. Like, it happened with XXXTentacion.
It happened with R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Free Robert Kelly.
I mean, like,
R. Kelly
hasn't been Let's Rocked yet, but, like, we still have these cases.
Oh, my God, that's a new... You just inadvertently made the best verb on Audio Face the entire year.
Let's Rock.
That's now the Let's Rock Award, by the way. I hope you know that is an award now.
The Let's Rock Award. The electric chair.
Yeah, there's the Let's Rock Award. That's the line.
Okay, so... If we were to enhanced interrogate someone in music...
It's not waterboarding, it's just pouring water on somebody's head.
It's enhanced interrogation to simulate drowning.
My waterboard.
His words were to simulate the sensation of drowning.
Yeah. Sign my waterboard.
Yeah, I'll sign your waterboard. Okay, so of course that's bad, but there is a little bit of good news here.
Weird Al
Yankovic, who has performed like some of his most famous parodies have been Michael Jackson parodies, like Fat for Bad.
Yeah, that's actually pretty funny.
Eat It for Beat It.
Which is pretty funny.
He
ain't doing that no more.
Yeah, he's decided he's just gonna like not perform
like hard
songs
pass,
live
right?
anymore for reasons. So you know, individual choices that musicians make can, I think, set the tone and start a movement because other musicians can then follow along and then...
Exactly. It's a domino effect where you can... So one starts, boom, 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 others follow, which is the whole idea.
Yes.
Fuck Ticketmaster. Fuck every ticketing thing in the world because we didn't get Tom York tickets because bots buy that thing out so fast. It's unreal. And they also fined $4.5 million in Canada for deceptive ticketing practices because...
Canada's Competition Bureau found that Ticketmaster inflated their prices by almost 65%.
These guys are assholes, man.
Because they'll add, it's
the fees of you buy. It's like, oh, the ticket's $45. Cool. No, it's more like $185 after all the fees and bullshit you have to deal with.
Yeah, and like, by the way, here's a timer in the corner of the screen saying if you don't click yes in 5 minutes,
your tickets are gone. Which is total bullshit. Anyways.
It's worse than car salesman.
It really is the car salesman on the internet. It's not worse than car salesman. It's worse than used car salesman, which is a whole other descriptive of a person. But shout out to AXS for actually giving me a full refund, fees included, for not going to see the 1975. Because they canceled the show. Because when I bought the tickets, it said, oh, the fees don't get refunded. It's just the ticket price. They've refunded me the entire thing, which I was surprised about. So
that's good.
I'm like, okay, there is some hope in the world. But then I try to get Tom York tickets and that shit sold out immediately. So then my hope goes back down.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like looking through, oh, how often does this happen?
A lot.
Back in December 2018, we talked about this on Audio Face where Ticketmaster was trying to sue customers who were trying to sue Ticketmaster for scalping, saying that by purchasing a ticket from Ticketmaster, you agree not to sue us and instead go into arbitration.
It's basically, you know that meme of Spider-Man, the two Spider-Mans pointing at each other like,
yeah,
that's literally what that was.
Except one of them has all of your money.
Except one of them is like, make him the Monopoly Man and the other Spider-Man pointing at him, make him like ripped up suit and there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's talk about Bandana.
Let's talk about Mad Gibbs, as we like to describe it. Bandana, Freddie Gibbs, Madlib, 15 songs, 46 minutes. Everybody's listening to Audioface now. It's official.
This is the most influential music podcast in the world.
Yes.
And if you disagree, listen to all previous 111 or 12 actual episodes.
Yes.
And then just like pay attention to music and you realize we're right. To be fair, this represents a lot of things we've been talking about on Audioface,
yeah, yeah.
But these artists are from like the bread and butter of what we say, what are doing
true,
right. It's not like these artists
true.
Have like fucked up significantly before.
You know, it's not like Migos just made a 40-minute album because that shit ain't happening.
Yeah, it's not like Migos made a 40-minute album and decided to throw an orchestra in there and decided to do fewer ad-libs about Jews. But this album did a really good job at picking the right fill-ins or features mm-hmm. when it was necessary. I mean, I'm just going to go through all the features right now. Palmolive has Freddie Gibbs, Madlib, Killer Mike, and Pusha T.
That song goes hard.
It is secretly an intersectional feminist song.
Yes.
And it goes really
hard.
We'll
get to that in a second.
Flat Tummy T might be sung this summer. Cataracts might be sung this summer. Like, goddamn.
You got Anderson Paak. And then you have...
Anderson Paak on Giannis, which we reviewed as a single a week or two ago. And then you have Education, featuring Black Thought and Yasiin Bey. You see that song at the end, and you're just like...
Mr. Yasiin Bey, aka Mos Def,
hey, Black on Both Sides.
Black on Both Sides, one of my favorite rappers. Probably my. I might honestly like his work more than MF Doom because it's hard for me. They're tied because
they're
of
different.
How much I like them a lot. That's how much I like Yasiin Bey.
I will say this: Yasiin Bey is quoted as saying that MF Doom is his favorite rapper.
Exactly. So it's it goes back and forth. They're both banned from the countries at some point in their lives.
You know, you know a rapper is good when they get banned from the United States for secretly being English.
Yeah. Yep, literally. 21 Savage, you're on there too.
21 Savage, Doom. I don't know what Yasiin Bey was doing with that like world passport thing he wrote on like wide ruled college paper.
Dude,
but like,
I don't know what that was about, but free him. And then he tried to do that like Guantanamo Bay shit too. I'm like, this guy's wild.
Whatever. Anyways.
But anyways, Freddie Gibbs Madlib. It starts with Obrigado, which do you know what Obrigado means?
I forget.
It means thank you in Portuguese.
Oh.
Do not sleep on my Portuguese.
It's an
interesting shout out from Caesar. On the We Made It podcast.
Check
for
them out
being
as well.
My big brother because he is Brazilian, from Brazil, and speaks Portuguese.
Facts.
So I saw Obrigado, I'm like, that means thank you. Oh, light bulb. Freestyle shit's really cool. Half Man, Half Cocaine. I didn't really like that song because it...
Half Man, Half Cocaine.
Yeah, because it felt like a little trappy song. Like, wasn't anything I liked that much. Crime Pace is good. Massage Sheets is where... I started really getting into this album, and then it took off and running from Massage Sheets down to just the last song, Soul Right, is incredible. It's
like
very, very, very good from that point on. Fake News is amazing.
Fake Names.
Oh, sorry, Fake Names.
Anima.
Yeah, I literally mixed those two. Fake Names is... might be my favorite song on the album. They put yellow boy on the evening news. Devil on my shoulder, say fuck friends, cause cash rules. Shit so real, gotta use fake names. Every time I sleep, dead faces, they occupy my brain. I really like that song. Or it's that one, or Education. But we'll get to
education goes really hard.
We'll get to Education in a second. Fat Tummy T's good situations. Giannis from Anderson Paak.
I kind of think I'll say the Crime Pays down is kind of just like a warpath to me.
Yeah, like, I mean, you can say that. I didn't get into Crime Pays. It's not a song I personally like, but I can see it getting in. Because it took a while to this album to start get up and running. It's kind of like the Black Keys in that way, where it was slow. It didn't feel like a Madlib produced album for the first couple tracks.
I feel like you need to like start it up a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like you have a wind-up window and it gets stuck and you got to yell in like Italian at some dude because you're driving an old 1985 Fiat. And then you got to start rolling that shit and you're like, ah... And you start flipping people off, and then you wind it, and then it goes down, and then you grab your fucking Glock and you start shooting, because then it gets hard.
That's amore.
Cataracts are good. Get Goddamn. I'm super dyslexic today. And then Education.
I want to go up a little bit.
No, it's fine. That's fine. I'm going how I'm seeing this album.
So this album, instrumentally, definitely not a trap thing. It's a little easier to get used to if you understand like Freddie Gibbs and the style you're getting at. Because if you're thinking a Madlib collab, I was saying this could be the next Mad Villainy.
Mm-mm.
And so you then compare this to MF Doom. MF Doom and Freddie Gibbs are incredibly different styles.
I would compare
Freddie Gibbs closer to like a J-Rock than
definitely.
MF
Doom. You could do J-Rock. You can do. There's a couple other rappers that are like that soft hardcore.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
And I think he was paired with a lot of artists who match that. So like you have Pusha T on here, you have Killer Mike on here.
Yeah. But Killer Mike goes hard in the paint some days.
Yeah, and some days Killer Mike doesn't go hard.
Exactly.
In the paint.
And then you have Yasin Bey, the same thing. It's interesting.
With Pusha T, Killer Mike, Anderson .Paak, Yasin Bey, and Black Thought, and Freddie Gibbs, you have some of the best lyricists in the game on this album right now.
The lyrics in this album are like phenomenal.
That's why I want to jump to Palmolive.
I sold the Glock 19 chopper. 2018, I'm finna reclaim my fucking time and cop the roadie flooded. Maxine Waters. Fuck your poison, keep the vaccines off us. We got a reality star in the goddamn office, quite like the Reagan days. Fernando said he used to move chickens in the Noriega days. I disrespect his name and he signed my face with the razor blade. Baby Tony, top of the family like Johnny Sacramone. Chopping up this block white top of some Yoshiyama motors. Whoever killed him first gon' get promoted. Boy, I was getting away with murder before Denzel fucked Viola against the
young nigga, dope money. Just
fucking Maxine Waters gets name dropping Palmolive, man. You know how hard that goes? Like, I was really happy to hear that.
It is Killer Mike, and Killer Mike, this is Audio Face.
I think that was even Pusha T's part, honestly.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, friend of the show, Killer Mike.
Yes, friend of the show, Killer Mike. You can say that. Friend of the show, Killer Mike.
But, it's lyrically, you've got, you know, like street knowledge, like a lot of depth, talk about experience in that kind of way. It's a keeping it real kind of tone and vibe here. Honestly, because I am feeling very strongly about all these, I have a feeling I'm going to be talking about some of these other songs later on, maybe next week.
But, yeah, I definitely will.
Let's talk about Education, because that's an amazing track. I mean, the fact that it's called Education, it's trying to be the song that, like, it's that, like, oh, here's what's really going on with society. Here's what's fucked up song.
Yeah, exactly.
And you want to know who the four people to bring that to you are? Madlib, which is phenomenal. Freddie Gibbs, which is great. Yasin Bey, who's literally, like, he created mathematics. Like,
in the 90s, dude.
Like, mathematics was, and I'm probably gonna have to throw this in the podcast because it's so important, but mathematics was a rap song that was like telling you how corrupt the government was
and
putting
in the 90s.
It into a really dope song.
Blood degrees to cash cow. It's a numbers game, but shit don't add up somehow. Like I got 16 to 32 bars to rock it, but only 15% of profits ever seen my pockets. Like 69 billion in the last 20 years spent on national defense, but folks still live in fear. Like nearly half of America's largest cities is one quarter black. That's why they gave Ricky Ross all the crap. 16 ounces to a pound, 20 more to a key. A 5 minute sentence hearing and you're no longer free. 40% of Americans own a cell phone, so they can hear everything that you say when you ain't home. I guess Michael Jackson was right. You are not alone. Rock your hard hat black as you in the terror dome. Full of hard niggas, large niggas, dice tumblers, young teens in prison greens facing life numbers.
When people say that
it's
rap is street poetry, when people say that rap is like trying to, it's about politics, it's about all that.
That is the song.
That's the song.
Yes.
Right there. So you have him.
You
have Black Thought. Fucking Thought. Like,
that song is one of my favorite rap songs I've heard in years.
And Education.
Peace parishioners, onlookers and listeners, visitors, keeping the consumption conspicuous, kids graduating from public schools and prisoners, underprivileged, aboriginal, indigenous, sent images of their family that got adopted, the president of some nonprofits is out of pocket, I heard the world ending is trending, I try to watch it, I focus on sinning when winning was not an option, the system we compete against is farm to table, hand picking them ingredients, civil disobedience, encyclopedia definition, gluttony, please take heed of who you treaty with me, Freddie Flocko, and shot.
Like, so much more. It makes you angry at a lot of rap music, honestly, because so much thought and effort and idea
went
into this and putting it together, and they make it seem effortless.
Yeah, they really do.
And so,
it just, I could not believe I was scrolling through. I just was laying in my bed. I hear Education starts, I hear Yasin Bey's voice. I'm like, no, No, look at it. I go, holy shit. And Black Thought, what is going on here?
It's incredible.
That's a track, man. This is the month of June 2019 will go down as a month of infamy, man.
Every, like, it's really hard where we do this podcast a lot, and usually there's like mostly good music we listen to, but then there's like
there's a lot of albums where we go where it's in, like, miss or it's the mark, like, you miss the mark or whatever, or we yell and get bleeped and there's some idiots and everything, you know.
This entire month of June has been pretty nice. I've been really happy.
It's just, it's literally good album after good album, and this is the creme de la creme. This is the top of the top.
And we're gonna need to, there's gonna be a lot of music that keeps coming in until at least through the middle of July. There have been some stuff that I've listened to that's phenomenal that hasn't been mentioned once in the episode in this podcast in the month of June because there's just too much shit.
There's too much shit.
And we're going to have to do a music recommendations episode that's going to be a little longer than usual because there's so much stuff.
Yeah. It's unreal.
Makes our jobs a little bit harder, but like makes our jobs a little bit easier.
It's because it's fun. Yeah.
It feels like less work.
Exactly.
Give us an engine, my friend.
Oh, Ferrari V12, 1995. The Gianellesi Ferrari V12, which is the second best sounding engine in the world, because it is the engine that is so high pitched, it sounds like it's going to explode any given moment. And it is the last time a Formula One car had a V12 in it. And it is, go on YouTube, type in Gianellesi on abandoned Russian airfield V12, put it half volume. Do not put it full volume because your head's going to explode. And it is this sound that echoes, and it's amazing. And that is this album.
Yeah.
By far. I have that car actually in my little quirk case.
Amazing.
Amazing. Right. We have two little fun stories.
It's really fast.
This is what we like to end Audio Face on. Usually some funny shit. And who doesn't love us shitting on Woodstock 50?
Woodstock update.
Here, so daily Woodstock update. Da 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 da
Okay. Woodstock 50 is supposed to be in mid-August. It is currently basically early July.
It's basically the first week of July.
They have no lineup, they have no plan, they have no set venue. This is hardball.
This is Firefest.
This is hockey night in Canada.
The fact that Dan just said this is hockey night in Canada makes me so happy, I have no idea. And this is hockey night in Canada. This is so bad. This is Ottawa Senators 2019 season, where they're so dead last, they literally couldn't lose anymore. They lost out on the first draft pick because of the lottery draft, and they had to pick like ninth in the draft. They tanked on purpose to try and get Jack Hughes or Capco and couldn't even do that. That's how bad it is. That's how shit Woodstock 50 is right now. It's beautiful.
With barely a month and a half until its scheduled date, Woodstock 50 has made new moves to try to stay afloat.
Oh my god.
It was since applied to host the thing on Vernon Downs, a plot of land that operates as a racino.
Yep.
Meaning a horse racetrack and casino. Yo, Woodstock, just put in Hawaiian Gardens, man.
At this point. But because you got Hawaiian Gardens, you got LaSalle Racetrack right there, dude. And you just split the show.
And you have a casino. You're good to go. They claimed the festival will still go on despite being canceled and despite like literally no artists talking about it. The new site at Vernon Downs wouldn't be able to hold the 70,000 people that the old site was supposed to hold. It's going to hold about 45,000 to 50,000 people. And by that, we mean it'll hold about 400 to 500 people because no one's showing up.
Dude, they literally just need to cancel it at this point. Seriously.
Cut your losses.
They should have cut it months ago. When the Black Keys are like, dog, this is bad. That's when you know it's bad and you need to, either you have, after that point, you have, I'll give you three weeks to figure it out. And if not, just cut it now.
It's like, listen, we're all musicians in the summer of a pretty good year in music. We can find other things to do.
Yep.
and because we like to end out of your face.
I'm spoken this OG Kush. I think that was Travis Scott who said that, right?
I think it's many rappers.
Travis
Scott's latest collaboration is with
Reese's Puffs. My favorite breakfast cereal. Dan's death breakfast cereal.
Yes. A limited edition of Reese's Puffs, aka Cactus Jack, referencing his Houston vibes, will be available soon. Limited time only. Exclusive collector's edition boxes. Each box costs $50, which is cheaper than a white t-shirt from Kanye West. And is,
you know, that's actually a very, very good point.
And Travis Scott has also hosted a pop-up event in Paris. for you to collect your special $50 box of Cactus Jack Reese's Puffs. They'll probably taste the same in about 60 years anyway, so it's probably a good deal.
Extreme true. And, you know, it is better than Kanye West's $300 t-shirts that just say yay on it.
No, this was even before that. This was a $120
didn't he
plain
sell like
white Hanes t-shirt.
Didn't he
$3 at Target, yeah, Hanes white
didn't
t-shirt.
Didn't he sell like Levi's jeans for like $800 too?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure he sold his dignity for however much it took to get on title.
I mean, he did that when he married Kim Kardashian West. But this has been
Audio Face,
episode 102.
Next week we have Song of the Summer episode.
Yes, so we're not going to be reviewing albums that week. We want a break and we want to just collectively get our thoughts together of holy shit, that was a lot of music. We need literally a music break.
Yeah.
Because it's just too much. And I want to listen to Twist more because I'm selfish.
Yeah, but I also want to make sure that we have our playlist made.
Exactly.
So that you can all like enjoy your summers and have your summers to the soundtrack of the best music of the year and slightly the year past.
Yep.
But when we return in 2 weeks, we won't have missed too much of a beat. We're going to have African Express, Damon Albarn has Black Friends, Big Crit, a rap artist I've been looking at a lot this year. His EP came out when we were on break in January. But I've been listening to a lot of songs from it, so I'm really interested to see how his first full album comes out.
Interesting, okay.
Tyco.
Ooh, that's right.
In 2 weeks. And because it's been a minute, Ed Sheeran's got a little side project that's going to be coming out with a bunch of collaborators. Very collaborator heavy.
Interesting. So, Ed Sheeran makes, actually, he's a talented musician, but he's just a little bitch sometimes. But
yes.
Anyways, we'll see you guys next week.
Yes, Sean can be found on Twitter.
Oh, that's right.
And Instagram at SW Suarez. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the Web and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. We'll talk to you next week.
Cheers.
Bye.